Thanks for being here. Thanks for worshiping. Way to go. You're here on Time Change Sunday. That's a challenge. So I just want to say thanks for being here. Welcome. Man, I want you to know that God loves you, has a great plan for your life, and we are super excited that you're here this morning. We start a brand new four-week sermon series this morning, and the idea behind the series is called The Story. And the point of this four-week series kind of leads us up to Easter, and I'm really excited because I really believe that it's going to give people a deeper framework for the whole picture of the Bible, that's going to give people a deeper framework and a deeper understanding of the fact that God created you and wired you up for a relationship with Him, and what to do with the mess-ups of our lives, what to do whenever God feels distant. There's going to be some great stuff that come out of this sermon series. So I want to encourage you to be back for every week of this sermon series as we lead up to Easter. It's going to tell the full story of the Bible. Because if you've ever been like, man, the Bible's cool and all, but I don't really understand some pieces or parts of it, we're going to do a big, broad overview over the next 4 weeks. And today, we're actually starting with creation. And so the big idea behind today is this, that you were created on purpose and that you were created for a purpose. And your story only makes sense when you start with God. You were created on purpose, for a purpose, and your story only makes sense with God. When I think about life and the highs and lows of life, as your pastor and as your friend, I sometimes get a peek into what's going on in your life. And in any given day, any given week, there's a lot of highs and there's a lot of lows. And especially in the middle of the lows, we can sometimes wonder, where is God at in fill in the blank, right? Where is God at in the cancer diagnosis? Where is God at in my loneliness? Where is God at in my anxiety, in my depression? Where is God at in my financial struggle or my relational struggle? Like, where is God at when the world seems to be at war with itself? Like, where is God at in the middle of all of that? And you know what the really deep answer is for me? I don't know. That's the deep answer for me. But what I will say is this, although I don't know that, I know this. Life makes a whole lot more sense with God than without Him. And the brokenness that we experience in this world is not a result of something that God created, but it's a result of our own rebellion and what we've created. And so today we're going to begin this series. My hope is that you take next steps out of this series. There may be moments where you're like, wow, I didn't know that, or wow, I've known that for a long time. And I just want you to know there's something for everybody in this message and in this sermon series. So the important piece of creation, 6 months ago, we designed this sermon series. And then 3 weeks ago, I started writing it. And I was like, this particular sermon. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say about creation. And so I did some heart work myself and then even dug into the purpose of creation and why this is so significant. And I think there's some big things we're going to take out of this message today. The first thing, though, is that if creation is misunderstood, like if you get a false idea, or if you begin to believe a lie about creation, some things can kind of sometimes seep into your life. First of all, if you misunderstand that God created everything, that affects your identity. Because if you think that you were like a mistake, or that you were random, or that this all happened on accident somehow, like with a really big bang, right? Like, if you believe that God wasn't a part of creation or that He didn't make creation happen, it does affect your own identity. And you're like, how does that have anything to do? Trust me, we're gonna circle into that. So, but if you misunderstand creation, there is a misunderstanding of also your value. Like, if you think that this is all random, then you're not valuable at all. You're just this random thing. Also, whenever I look at creation, it helps me with my own purpose. Like, I'm able to say, okay, God had a plan and a purpose for my life. And then it also helps me understand redemption. It helps me understand the backside of the story for me to get, like, the first three pages of the Bible are so great. I wish that it just stopped with those first three pages. But the reality is, the story doesn't stop there. The first three pages is God creates everything. And it's all good. Like, God even says it after everything He creates. He says, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. God creates Adam and Eve, puts them on the earth, and then puts them in charge of this garden and says, hey, this all belongs to you. just don't do this one thing. Don't eat from this one tree. And what do? They do the one thing that God told them not to do. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. And the rest of the Bible really takes up God's rescue story because of a mistake that they made that our great-great-great-great-great-great-ancestoryandme.com, great-grandparents Adam and Eve, right? They made the mistake, and now we still live in that. And we have the same disobedient problem that they have. Like, you may be able to say, there's no way I would have done that. I would have listened to God. Really? Tell me how that's going for you, right? Like, the truth is, we all do our own thing. And so that's kind of inherently, like, wired up inside of us. But throughout today's talk, I just want you to keep this in mind, is that if there's a watch, there has to be a watchmaker, okay? So if there's a watch, there has to be a watchmaker. If you're wearing a watch right now, or if you just even own a watch, if we were to take that watch apart, we would find out that it has a lot of intricate gears that are in it. Like, I have an Apple Watch on today. I'm an Apple person because I'm a Christian, but I'm joking. I'm joking. You Samsung, Android, whatevers. All right, I know it's personal for you, so whatever. You want all the control. Okay, whatever. So we make fun of people here, so you got to have thick skin at Grace River. We make fun of phone, you know, like the Android people. We make fun of those cat people. We make fun of those people. So if you're an Android and a cat person, you know, and you don't cheer for the Chiefs, I'll get you a gift card or something just to make up for this. We make fun of all those people that don't cheer for the Chiefs. So, But soon we'll have the Cardinals to be disappointed in. That'll be great. So I can't wait. Can't wait for that. Spring's here, man. It's awesome. So, but in all seriousness, when you look at your watch and you open, if you were to like break it apart, open it up, what you'd find out is that there's a lot of details that make the watch work, right? It's not just some random thing. Like the gears inside the watch, the little things that make it happen. You can't just like, every house has a junk drawer. Does your house have that? If you're normal, you have a junk drawer probably, right? And it's just weird. My junk drawer has garage door openers that don't even belong to my house. I don't even understand. But because it ends up in the junk drawer, you're just like, well, I mean, we can't part with this. You know, like, what would happen if we need it? Like, I don't know. I'm going to, like, drive through my neighborhood and figure out whose door it opens. I have no clue what that is even in there for. But there is a lot of junk in our junk drawer, like iPhone cables from multiple iPhones ago, like all the things that are in there, batteries that I'm not sure, we're not even that earthy, but we throw these away? I don't know. What do we do with this, right? And so like I can't get inside my junk drawer and like move my hand around in it and then pull out a watch that I created by moving my hand around in it, right? Because if you open the watch up, you would go, wow, this is pretty detail-oriented, like what made this happen. To say that there's a watch and that there's not a watchmaker is just about the same as saying there's creation, but there's not anybody that created this. I want you to know this is not a mistake. You're here today, and if you're here today and you're not convinced otherwise, my job is not to convince you otherwise. My job is just to help give you the facts and challenge you to have the courage to go where the facts take you. Like, that's the reality behind this today. So creation really tells us four things. It tells us who God is. Like if you want to know who God is, you can look at the creation. I love watching a sunrise or a sunset. I'm more of a sunset guy because sunrise means you got to get up early, right? But like wherever I'm at in the world, I always love watching a sunset because it's always just a reminder when the sky is painted with God's handiwork. Like it's really clear in those moments. Like man, we didn't do any of this. This isn't an accident. Like, none of this is, like, just randomly happening. Do you understand that? Like, the fact that I can talk and that you can listen, the fact that we got here this morning, the fact that, like, that our bodies do what they do, it's pretty amazing. And to say there's not a God that did that is wild. So, ultimately, creation tells us not just stuff about ourselves, but more importantly, it even tells us stuff about who God is. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says this, this is really good. Genesis 1:1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's the starting point. The very first chapter, the very first verse in the Bible helps us to understand that God was here before anything else was. Before wars, before mistakes, before problems, before people, there was God. And so from the beginning, we could see who God is, that God is eternal. He's always been around. He's just always been here. God is all-powerful. God is intentional. Like, even this morning, I want you to know, there's an author of your life that intended on you to be here today. Like, there's intentionality behind this God. And then God is also personal. This is the thing about God that blows me away the most, is this same God who created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1:1 wants a relationship with me. Like, sees me and you, not just me personally, us. Like, wants a relationship with me, wants a relationship with you, and it's personal for this God. I mean, that should be mind-blowing for you. In fact, if there's a fridge in heaven, your picture is on it. That's how personal God wants to be with you. And what's hard for us is that sometimes we don't want that from God. Like, we want to kind of do our own thing, but God wants relationship with us. That's the amazing thing about Genesis, is that in the beginning, God creates all of this. In the first three pages, everything is going so well. He creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the sea and the land. He creates the sun and the stars. He creates every living thing. And then he creates humanity. And he says that it's all good. Creation tells us a lot about who God is, but creation also tells us who we are. Like, we look at creation, we can also see, man, because of creation, I can have identity. I can have hope. I can have purpose. What creation says about you is this, is that you're not an accident. I think somebody needs to hear that today, by the way. I want you to know something. Leaning in for a second, you are not an accident. I think in my own life, I have struggled with this in my own identity, just so you know, like in my own personal journey. Chris Highfield being a purposeful human being has been a hard thing for me. My mom passed away 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, and I've been on this journey to kind of know more about my life and know more about her, and I don't know, it's been kind of an interesting, introspective time, and my birthday lines up with their anniversary with math in a weird way, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they would have just celebrated 46 years together a couple weeks ago in January, and then I'm born in May. And so I'll be 46 in May. So I'm like, okay, when I'm 15, I was kind of slow, like in math. And so when I'm 15, I kind of realized this. Like, I'm like, wait a second, you know? And it kind of gave me like this moment where I'm like, I think I'm the reason why you guys, wait a second, right? And so recently, my dad was sharing a memory with me about their first date. And their first date was in 1975. I'm like, wait a second. Okay, 1975. I'm born in 19. That's 5 years. Okay, that's interesting. And he told me the movie they went to go see. It was like a Jack Nicholson movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Super interesting story. And I kind of like put that. I was kind of eavesdropping on what he was saying. And then later, I was having breakfast with him a few weeks later. I said, hey, walk me back on this. You said this, and I want to hear more about that. And so he tells me about their dating history, and they had dated, and then they kind of had broke up, and then they were dating other people, and they would go on double dates with other people around each other. And my dad was like, I don't know why I'm not dating her again. And then so they start dating again, like in 79. It's pretty hot and heavy, I guess. I don't know. It's shaky, right? But my dad told me, like, he was slow to commit to my mom. Like, and even his mom had said, you know, you either need to marry this girl or break up with her, but, like, you got to do something. And my grandmother basically said, you got to piss or get off the pot kind of thing to my dad. And sorry, I guess I can say that here. Can I say that here? My pastor's here today, so I feel a little weird. We don't normally cuss in church. Anyway, so it's crazy because I'm talking to my dad about, like, well, tell me about because I've seen wedding pictures, and I'm like, everything seems so cool at your wedding. Like, was it weird? Like, I don't know, there was not a shotgun in the background. I don't know, like, well, I don't know what was happening that day. And he goes, no, it was a very happy occasion. Everybody was super excited. And he goes, and my dad kind of, like, leans in, and he said, you know, Chris, your mom, like, she wanted to have you. And he said, I was slow. He said, I was slow to commit, but she got pregnant with you on purpose so we would get married. I was like, would have been great to know that 30 years ago as I started doing the math, because literally for the last 30 years, I've kind of been on this thing where I'm like, I'm just random, you know, like I'm a bit of an accident. And so to know that my mom had a plan, and that was a big impact on me. And I don't know what your story is, okay? You may have been a plan, you may have not been a plan, but I want you to know, regardless, you're not an accident. Even if someone's told you that, I want you to know that God's never told you that. That God created you on purpose, for a purpose. You're not just some random being. Like, God has a plan for you. You're not self-created. You're not your own God. Like, you didn't dream this up yourself. Like, God did all of this. You are an image bearer of God. Like, you're created in his image. This is unique about human beings, by the way. Like, if you want to know something about yourself, you're not like a dog. And you're not like a cat. Thank God you're not like a cat. You're rubbing up against people. That's creepy, man. If you're a human being and you're rubbing up against people, that's weird. You're like a cat. You are like a cat. My gosh, some of you cat people, you got cat towers, and people come to your house and they rub up against your guest. And some of you are mad at me right now, and I'm sorry. But I do think it's weird if you rub up against random people. But all right, my dog does weird stuff, so we don't have to get into it. But not that, not that. You're not an accident. You're not random. But ultimately, like, when I think about, like, that I'm an image bearer of God, we were created. It's interesting, with us, God speaks everything else into motion. So every other thing that God creates, God's the only one that can say, hey, you know what? There should be water there. Let's put water there. There should be land there. Let's put land there. There should be an alligator over there. Let's do that. I don't know why he created alligators. That's scary, right? Like, the giraffes and zebras and lions and tigers and bears. God spoke, and all of that just happened. But what's interesting about humanity is that God formed us with his hands, that we were made in his image, that he looked at himself and he looked at us and said, these ought to be alike. And that doesn't mean that you ever become God, because some groups would teach that idea, that if you work hard enough, if you're a good enough person, if you're just perfect enough, one day you'll become your own God. And even some groups even think that you have your own planet, which is, the Mormons are wild. Anyway, so like, all that to say, wow, all that to say, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says it like this. So God created human beings in his own image. Again, to mirror him, in the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. This concept of in their own image comes from the Latin word imago Dei, that we are the image bearer of God. So if you want to blow somebody away, just say, well, you're the imago Dei. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, that means I'm like made in the image of God. And so when I look at my own image, I can see a piece of God in me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you are God. I'm just saying that you were created by God in his image. And so you hold a different value because of that. So ultimately, humans are made in his image, like every one of us. That means that even people that I disagree with are made in the image of God. Like, people that have a different value than I have, or a different belief system, or a different worldview. Like, ultimately, we're all made in his image. We're also made to reflect him. So the hope in your life is that people would not bring you glory, but they would bring God glory as a result of how you lived your life. God also made us in his image so that we could rule and steward over what it is that God has given us. So ultimately, that we could be good managers of what God has given us. That from the car that I drive, to the house that I live into, that I live in, the money that I have in the bank, that I would steward it well, that I would manage it well to glorify God. God also created you with moral capacity. What's interesting about you, the difference between you and your cat is that you know right from wrong. I don't know what cats know, but I know this. I know for you, you know the difference between right, and you also know the difference between wrong, which also tells us that you have eternity wired up in your soul. That every one of us recognize and understand there is more to just this life. So when we think about the imago Dei piece of this, Who is made in the image of God? The answer is everyone, but I want to get granular for a second. Okay, I want to get down to the nitty-gritty. That means the unborn. Like, we believe that life begins at conception, right? So we can value the unborn. We can value the addict. Like, they're made in the image of God. The atheist is made. The person that doesn't believe in God yet, this is the mind-blowing thing about God. Even the person that is against God, that would say there is no God, that there is no creator, there is no watchmaker. Even that person, made in the image of God. The disabled, made in the image of God. This is probably the hardest one. The person or group of people that you struggle to love, they're made in the image of God. That person that hurt you, that person who misunderstood you, that person who misrepresented you, your arch nemesis, she's made in the image of God. He is made in the image of God. And if I start looking at people like they're made in God's image, that a creator made them, that a creator loves them, I really do believe it changes the perception of how we look at them. Like, it changes not the way just we look at them, but it also changes the way we treat them. Psalms 139, verse 14 says this. He says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." David writes this, the author of this psalm. "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." This is David thanking the watchmaker. He's like, hey, it's obvious that there's a creator. So creation ultimately tells us who God is, also tells us who we are, also tells us that we're made, that like what we're made for. That you and I were really made for two things. That's a relationship with God and a relationship with others. But look at this in Genesis 2, verse 18. Again, just in the first few pages of the Bible, Genesis 2, 18 says, "The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper just right for him." So it's not good that God would be, that man would be alone. That, like, God made that really clear. That wasn't a good thing. See, everything God creates in the first few chapters of the Bible, God would create and then say it was good. So he creates the land and says, that's good. Creates the sea, says, that's good. Mountains, that's good. Animals, that's good. Cats, no good. I'm kidding. Gosh, I got to stop and get emails. The best email advice, best email address to reach me at is paul@graceriver.cc. You can email that one. I know it's weird. It's not my name, but it's good. Get it to him. Yeah, run up the ladder. It's crazy. But sorry, no more cat jokes today in this service, okay? So, but ultimately, what Genesis 2:18 is telling us, I often use this passage when I'm doing a wedding or I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple. I'll use this like passage because it talks about really the first relationship, the relationship between Adam and Eve. But I don't think this is just spoken for marriage. I also believe that Genesis 2:18 exists to help us to understand something about ourselves when it comes to relationship. God wired you up to be a relational person. That's just the way we're all created. And you may go, I don't know, Chris, I'm a pretty big introvert. Even the biggest introvert doesn't want to truly be alone. Here's the biggest test of that. Make an introvert spend a whole day by themselves and then come home to that person. And what do they do to you? Just talk. I mean, it's like, why? The reason why is they're wired up for relationship. They may not be the life of the party. They may not be the loud, boisterous person in the room like most of the annoying extroverts are, right? But like, regardless of what your score is on the Enneagram, like, I want you to know you're wired up for relationship, and you're really wired up for two relationships, a relationship with God and a relationship with other people. That's what you're made for. And when we look at what the Bible has to say, Jesus himself, when asked, what is the most important commandment in all of the Bible? This scholar came to Jesus and asked him this question one day, and Jesus said this, love God and love people. We like to make it so more complicated than that. But if you want to boil down Christianity into one thing, it's the concept of loving God and loving others. And that's what God wired you up for relationship. And the fourth thing is that we're also, like, God creates us, and does creation really points to this idea of God's plan for redemption. That you and I cannot redeem ourselves. Again, back to the story, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God creates all this from the beginning. And then we flip forward to the New Testament, and what we read in John chapter 1, verse 1 says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This concept of Word here is not actual Word. It's the life of Jesus. So when John is speaking of this, what's being said here in John's gospel is this concept that the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, also glimmers into Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, which says this. Colossians 1, 15, if you struggle with doubts about God, or if you struggle with the idea that God can be known, I just want you to read and maybe put to memory or write down Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, because this will tell you everything about who Jesus is. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. I think for some people, they would believe in God if they could just see God. That's the hard part about God, is that God is invisible. I can't physically see God. Although we're made in God's image, we can't see God. And so Paul says, the Apostle Paul who wrote Colossians, he says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So what Paul's essentially saying is, do you want to know who God is? If you want to know who God is, look to Jesus. And here's the second part of this verse just gets me, man. He's talking about Jesus. He says, he existed before anything was created, and he's supreme over all creation. Now, he's not talking about Father God here. He's talking about Jesus God here. So when he says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, and then he goes on to say that he existed before anything was created, he's talking about Jesus, y'all. There was a time in my life that I thought that Jesus first shows up in Bethlehem, like on Christmas time, right? Under the star with the shepherds and the wise men a couple years later, right? But that's not the introduction of Jesus. Jesus is active in creation. He's supreme over it even. So here's the mind-bending truth behind that for a moment. This is like wild to me. And if you want deep, here's deep. Because sometimes people say, man, I want a deeper sermon. Let me give you something deep here for a second, okay? Because deep just means you want to be confused. So that's all that usually means. And you're a deep enough Christian to understand that, so it's good, right? But like, here's deep for you. Jesus, if he's active in creation, it means that Jesus created the tree that he would one day be crucified on. That's powerful, man. Like, that's the one, that's the tree right there. That's the one that one day will become a cross. One day I'll be pinned to. One day I'll be hung on that for the sins of humanity. Like, Jesus creates that tree. Jesus creates the hill that he would one day carry that cross up to. Not so that we'd have a cool logo to put on some earrings, but so for the rest of our lives we'd be reminded that God had redemption in mind from the very beginning. That on the third page of the Bible, humanity messes it up and we break everything by taking of that tree in that garden. But from day one, God was saying, let me fix this. See what he does on day one? After they mess it up, they're hiding from God, and they cover themselves up with fig leaves. I'm gonna talk about it more next week. So we want to make sure to come back for that. But they cover themselves up. I got an illustration. I actually have fig leaves, so it's going to be fun. I'm not going to wear them, but you want to be sure to be here for it. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to do something I've never done before. Anyway, so, which is I'm going to bring fig leaves on stage, not wear them. But it's crazy, man, because like, Adam and Eve, they sin, they mess up, and they hide from God, and they sew some fig leaves together because they're embarrassed, they're shame, they're guilt, they're just, they run from God, and God asks them where they're at. And that wasn't a geographic question, it was a where they're at in their hearts. And Adam does what any grown man would do. He blames it on his wife, which is great. It's a great story. You should go read it later. It's awesome. And that was the first fight that ever happened right there. If you're wondering, like, when did the first fight happen? Definitely whenever the husband blames the wife for his sin. That is for sure. That's dicey. That's bold. Bold. But they cover themselves up with these fig leaves, and God loves them enough to sacrifice an animal and clothe them with the sacrifice from that animal, and he covers their sin. And that's the first moment of what the Old Testament describes as all of these sacrificial things that had to happen so people would be temporarily covered with their sin, covered from their sin. But what's amazing is one day in Bethlehem, there was this baby born named Jesus. And he would grow into a man. Here's the story. He would grow into a man. He did teachings and healings and miracles. And he went to a cross and died on it. He borrowed a tomb for 3 days. And the same breath that breathed Adam into existence, that same breath made a Savior get out of an empty tomb and walk away. Christ is the invisible image of the visible God. So I ask the question today, if God creates everything so good, why does everything feel so bad sometimes? Like, if everything is so good, then why do I go through what I'm going through? Why do I struggle with this anxiety stuff or this depression stuff? Why are things so backwards in the world? Why do wars break out? Like, why do things not feel good? Why is everything so broken? Well, everything being so broken isn't God's fault. Everything being so broken is actually our fault. And ultimately what happens is creation points to new creation. If I look to if God created me, I can look to him and go, okay, what about this new creation? And next weekend, by the way, we're celebrating new creation as a church. We've got a dozen or so people lined up to get baptized, and I'm so pumped. You don't want to miss it next weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. And maybe for you, you would identify yourself as a person that is a new creation because of Christ, not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done for you. And if that's you, and you've never gone public with that faith, you've never celebrated that, man, dude, next weekend's for you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Do you know how you become a new person? Not through your achievements. Not through doing better and trying harder. You become a new person because of what happened on the cross. You become a new person because you allowed what happened on the cross to not only like inform your intellect, but you allow it to change your heart and say, God, I'm not living for me, I'm living for you. The old life is gone. The old me is over. I'm living for you now. So when people come out of that baptistry water and we cheer and we're so excited, we're not cheering that the water took their sins away. We're cheering that the Savior did and that he made them new. And that's the beautiful thing about creation, is that creation points to new creation. I love that God is a God of do-overs and restarts, that God is a God of grace who extends that love, grace, and mercy to you. Pastor Paul talks about this sometimes, and I love it. It's just a great reminder that there is not a single heart that's far from God. You may feel like you're far from God, but I want you to know you're one step away. One step away to repentance. One step away to restoration. One step away from new life in him. But what it requires is enough humility to go, God, I want you and not me. I want you to call the shots and not me. So some next steps I want you to consider. The first one is this, is would you reject the lie that you're an accident? Dude, there is something very free about realizing that God created you on purpose for a purpose. So no matter what your story is, His story is so much greater. So reject the lie right now that you were just some happenstance or some accident that happened, you know, in the atmosphere. That there's reality behind you. The second thing is this, would you restore your relationship with the Creator? Maybe you're here today and, man, you just feel that distance from God. And I want you to know you can restore that relationship with Him. And you don't have to wait till Monday. Or you don't have to wait till Easter. And you don't even need, like, a priest or a rabbi or a person. Like, you've got Jesus. Like, you can do it in just a moment. I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. And in just a moment, you can talk to God yourself. And you can restore this relationship with your Creator. For some of you, it's not just restoring it. It's just beginning the relationship with God. There's nothing to restore. You've never had one. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you to get one. The third thing is treat every person like they're an image bearer of God. Treat every person like they're made in His image. Dude, you're way quicker to forgive when you realize that person was made in the image of God. You're way quicker to acknowledge them, not to approve their lifestyle necessarily, but you're way quicker to love them when you recognize, wait a second, she's made in the image of God. Wait, he's made in the image of God. When I begin to treat every person like that, it changes the way I view things. You know what spiritual maturity is? This is crazy, man. I didn't say this in the first service. They couldn't take it, all right? Here's what spiritual maturity is. Loving God and loving people. God is not going to give you more to be disobedient with. Like, let's be obedient to those two things. It's not that complicated. The second thing is worship the Creator instead of the created things. Like, worship the one who created it all. I don't worship the watch, guys. I worship the watchmaker. Like, the one who started it all, he's worthy of our worship. And I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in material things and we get so wrapped up in what we've done. And you've done some cool things with your life, I have no doubt. As human beings, we can invent, but we cannot create. So you can invent something. You can, like, start something new. You can build something with your hands. But where did it all come from? The things that you built with your hands, the very hands that you built the things with, it all comes from a Creator. And so my encouragement to you is, would you begin to, instead of worshiping your stuff, would you worship the one who gave you all your stuff? And then would you then see that all of a sudden when I begin doing that, it changes my perspective of my whole life? Bow your heads with me for a moment. This morning, as you search your own heart, I just wonder what your next step is. Maybe it's beginning to look at the people in your life that kind of annoy you and looking at them and saying, man, you're made in God's image and I'm going to love you. Maybe it's a call to obedience. Maybe it's getting baptized next weekend. Like, I don't know what your next step is, but I know this. In the room, we all need to restore our relationship with God. And in the room, there are some of us that need to begin a relationship with God. So if you want to restore that relationship with Him, I want to give you a chance to pray right now in your seats. And you know how to do that. You can pray yourself right now. God, make me right with You again. I'm ready to live for You again. But if you're ready to begin that relationship with God, it would look like this. God, the prayer would look like this. God, I admit that I need You. And God, I admit that I'm broken. And God, I believe that it was Your Son who came for all of that brokenness, all of that sin, all that guilt, all that shame. And God, I believe that He's not only my rescuer, my Savior, but God, today I believe that He's Lord of my life, and today I confess that with my heart and with my life. Now God, help me to go live for You every day of my life. Thank You for saving me, for changing me, and making me new. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Man, if you just prayed that prayer, I wanna be the first to celebrate with you. Way to go. And man, next weekend, you may just wanna get baptized. Like, that could be a really great next step for you. But regardless, we would love to know, and so I'll be out in the lobby, so will Pastor Jacob. We'd love to be able to meet you and hear your story. You can also take your phone and tap that dot in front of you. And there's a quick button that you can click on that says, I just said yes. I would love to hear from you if you just said yes and prayed that prayer. Let's stand together. Be back next weekend for baptism weekend at Grace River, and we'll see you back next Sunday. God bless, guys. Have a good day. Thank you.